It has been more than a week since Boiseans woke up to the news of a knife attack at a child's birthday party. A 30-year-old transient with a criminal record stabbed 6 children and 3 adults after being asked to leave that apartment complex. 3-year-old Ruya Kadir died from her injuries just days later. It was her birthday party that the partygoers were celebrating the night of the attack. Now, the victims and their families are members of Boise's refugee community, and that assault shocked that community, our community as a whole. One that is already on guard as the national narrative regarding immigrants becomes a bit more volatile. Joining us to discuss Saturday's memorial service honoring Ruya and the healing process of this community is Megan Schwab. She is Community Engagement Director with the International Rescue Committee's Boise chapter, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me again.
I'd like to start, Megan, with talking a little bit about the memorial service on Saturday. A lot of people attended, but some people weren't able to. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the mood at the service.
The mood was, very somber. There was a lot of sadness, of course, and a lot of grief and mourning as people entered and began to get a little bit of a sense of who Ruya was. We ensured that there were lots of pictures of her in life surrounding all of the goers to the memorial service on the tables and surrounding the entries. And I think it was somber because of that, but also at the same time, it was a really poignant, I think, and touching moment for not just those who knew Ruya or knew her a little bit or knew her family, but people who came to support them even though they didn't know her at all, to be able to come together and get a little bit of an idea of who she was, in the 3 years that we were graced mm-hmm. with that beautiful little girl.
And her father, who has been in Turkey, I believe, mm-hmm. was able to get an emergency visa
yes.
to come to Boise. Yeah. First off, tell me about that process, because there was concern that he may not be able to get here.
Right. And we have been working to try and get him here shortly after Bifitu and Ruya themselves arrived. But of course, the circumstances made that case a little more pressing. We went through similar channels before petitioning 3 members of our congressional delegation to put pressure to try and get him a visa issued more quickly than the average mm-hmm. visa would be. And we primarily petitioned the 3 congressional delegates that we have the most contact with and that have experience working within foreign affairs. And it was largely due to a lot of their influence that we were able to get that visa through so quickly.
Will he have to go back to Turkey? Where is that process at?
We will now begin the process of doing our best. Nothing is certain to try and get him some other form of status after the 4-month visa is complete. So the next step is trying to basically see if there's a way that we can get him another status or another visa to stay.
This has been shocking for our community, I think for our entire state, frankly, because this is a community that comes here because they are truly refugees. They are fleeing mm-hmm. war-torn countries. Mm-hmm. Ruby and her mom came from Ethiopia.
Yes.
Much more conflict, much more war mm-hmm. going on in a country like that. Mm-hmm. And within that community, just where that apartment complex is, a lot of people coming from countries like that, Syria as well. What is it like for them, though, now moving forward? I mean, it's only been 10 days, mm-hmm. but what is their sense of safety like?
Mm-hmm. Especially in the initial aftermath, there was great concern because all the victims commonly shared being refugees and because all the victims commonly shared being Muslim. You can imagine that those shared communities, primarily those members of the Ethiopian, Somali, Iraqi, and Syrian communities that dwell primarily at the Wiley Street apartments alongside Congolese as well, there was a lot of fear and worry about their safety and security. The IRC has been working 24/7, really, since this attack occurred, alongside the city of Boise, alongside particularly the police departments, to reach out to everyone and let them know if they do feel fear for their safety, if they do feel unsafe in their current environment, they can approach the police department, they can approach the city that The IRC's doors are always open, and we will do whatever we can, even if that means temporary housing or other housing alternatives to ensure that those communities feel safe again. And in addition, the police department has been doing a lot of outreach to answer any questions that the community may have and to allay any concerns that they also have at this time, although it's a long-term effort. This is a long road, and as you spoke to yourself, these are communities who fled so much in their past, mm-hmm. violence, war, disaster, conflict, fears for their safety, and came to not just the U.S., but to Boise, a city that's known for its safety and for its security. And I think some of the fear that this attack dredged up is going to take some time and is going to take the continued strength and compassion of the entire city and its public to begin to overcome.
I'm speaking with Megan Schwab with the International Rescue Committee of Boise, talking about the mass stabbing that happened 10 days ago and how the community of refugees is working through this and hopefully being able to move forward. What about the idea of post-traumatic stress? Mm-hmm. I would think this would be a prime setting for something like that to set in. Is there help for them?
Yes. So it's very true that many and most of the refugee community have already gone through a lot of trauma in their past, in their history. And this attack may have created additional trauma on top of that, or may have reinvoked previous triggers of trauma that they've experienced in the past. And the IRC is already collaborating with a wide variety of community partners in order to provide counseling services to all of those affected, the victims and their families and people present at the apartment complex. As I believe we'll speak to soon, thousands of dollars have been raised mm-hmm. by the local community, the national community, even international donors. And some of that money will go towards counseling services and to do whatever we can to help with those experiencing or re-experiencing trauma in the wake of this attack.
Let's talk about that, because you, like I said, you've had thousands upon thousands of dollars coming
yes.
in as donations. A, what is happening with that money? You spoke a little mm-hmm. bit to it. But then B, how does that affect the refugees? We actually had a question from a listener last week mm-hmm. When we were talking about this. And the question was, how does it affect any type of social services mm-hmm. that they get?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, does that affect if you know, they get some type of like food stamp, something like that? Does
mm-hmm.
does that affect any assistance mm-hmm. that they're getting? Or is this, you know, a gift?
Well, this is a gift, and something you also have to consider for any direct costs, like medical billing mm. and things like that. We're going to do our best to have that billed, you know, to the IRC through us. I can double check also on the specifics of that. I'm not 100% mm-hmm. sure on the answer to that second part of the question. So I can always check and get back so you can get that answer to your listener confirmed as well.
Great.
But yes, so we've received over $250,000 of assistance from donors all the way from Japan to everywhere across the U.S. to, of course, a multitude here mm-hmm. in Boise and in Idaho for people who have been looking for a way to help.
Because sometimes that's the only way you know how to help.
Right. And all of this money is going to be used towards the immediate needs, and especially the ones that the families that have been requested by the families. Travel and logistics, long-term counseling services, to the best of our ability, covering medical costs. But something that is going to take a while to understand and to figure out how this is going to be apportioned is, of course, still nebulous as we're working through what a lot of these immediate and long-term costs are going to be, as far as counseling, even things like child care. For some of the families that may have difficulty in the short term or up to, you know, a certain period of long term in caring for all their children in the way they would have if they had not been victims of this attack. And so while some of those details are nebulous, the IRC is working with our health systems and working with our community partners to try and figure out the best way that this money can be apportioned. And, of course, working directly with the families in the way that they want the funds used as well.
If people still want to give, whether that's monetary or another way,
mm-hmm.
is there still a need, and is money the best way to be giving right now?
The IRC has been encouraged and also overwhelmed by the volume of inquiry regarding how people can help. The best way really is to donate to this singular fund that will go directly to all the families and the victims. It is still up and available. People can go to our website, rescue.org/Boise, to find where they can donate online. And that will obviously still be needed. We still have a couple people in hospital, and we're still waiting for, of course, medical billing to come through to understand even the beginning of what these costs are going to begin to look like. So support is definitely still needed. Money is definitely still needed. And if you can't or are not in a position to donate yourself, people have been getting incredibly creative in organizing fundraisers, not just in the immediate aftermath, not just in the last week, but we've seen fundraisers scheduled through the rest of this month, through August and September.
Oh, wow.
And that's really beautiful, first of all, because it shows that the community in the long term is not going to forget that this happened, and not going to forget, and we would expect nothing less of Boise, the victims and their families and what they've experienced, and that Boise understands that this is a long journey for them. And so if you're not in a position to donate yourself, we ask, you know, get creative
and find a way.
Organize a fundraiser yourself, but also, you know, continuing to spread the word and to support these families and be compassionate in the little everyday acts of kindness towards your refugee neighbors is another one of the best ways that you can continue to support this effort.
You know, Boise Police Chief Bill Bones was on last week, and I think one of the most poignant things he said was, it's not about what happened, it's about how you move forward after. And I think that we're doing that, and I think your community is doing that, and the IRC, and it's good to see that support of the refugee community.
We love Boise.
Yeah. So thank you, Megan. Megan is with the International Rescue Committee of Boise. Thank you so much for joining us.